Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's been a great, I don't want to call it a rivalry because I don't think that's the situation, but it's been a great back and forth series. And like you said, implications typically every year, conference implications, championship implications. Of course, we played them in the championship game last year. So it's turned out to be a very competitive and very intense football game, and I'm sure this year will be no different.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us on the program, Pilgrim. As usual, we're trying to kind of just wade through all of the craziness of college football and this time of year, and we're halfway through the season. I think almost everybody's played at least six or seven games, and so I know certainly for us here locally, all the teams have played six games at least, and so we have a little bit of a snapshot of what we're looking at, but it's interesting because this year Scott feels more like we know less about these teams after six games than we've had in a long time. I mean, usually after six games, you kind of know what you are, and it doesn't really feel necessarily that way with Utah because 1 week to the next, I know that the 34-14 win over Cal was so needed. It was absolutely necessary for I think, fans to feel like that they were getting back to, even though they don't have an offense or they don't have a quarterback, that offense could get going. So let's kick things off. One of our favorite guests we have had over the years, Matt Zemek on the program here with us from Trojans Wire. That's where we're going to start things off here with The Cut. Let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The Cut is always presented by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives. The G2G Bar, perfect for anybody who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. And RGS Exteriors, giving your home that new look this year that you need. Give them a call, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110, RGS Exteriors. Matt, thanks for being on the program again, man. Is this a rivalry game that's going away and we're going to be sad that it's missing, or is USC going to be like, good riddance, Utah?
Well, I think if you like to compete, you want to be able to beat someone who's given you a hard time in the past. So I certainly hope that USC fans don't feel relief that they won't have to play Utah. I mean, I'm sad about all these great Pac-12 showdowns leaving our lives after this year. So, USC-Utah, the game in Salt Lake City was one of the very best in 2022, and then they met again and Utah denied USC a trip to the college football playoff. So like, if USC is fearing Utah, well, that's obviously the wrong mentality to have, and it certainly spices things up for this week in the Coliseum.
How are the USC fans right now? What is this USC team feeling right now?
USC fans are very worried, and they should be. And the bigger picture, we didn't expect this, of course. Like, we did not expect Alex Grinch's defense to be basically peripheral to the outcome against Notre Dame. Like, the defense had barely anything to do with USC's loss. Yeah. It was the offense, it was Caleb Williams, and most of all, it was the offensive line just getting its teeth kicked in by Notre Dame's defensive line. And that's really the crisis at USC. The Trojans are soft, and they were soft on defense the past several weeks. This past weekend, it was the offensive line that was especially soft. But this is a soft team. It's a soft program. And so you might wonder in Salt Lake City, what's the change? What's the difference? And I'm going to tell you, Andrew Voorhees, Brett Nealon, Bobby Haskins, those were three offensive linemen from last year. Voorhees and Nealon were, grown up. They were cultivated within the program under Clay Helton, and they stayed over for year one under Lincoln Riley. Haskins was a portal pickup from Virginia. But those three guys were tough dudes, and they were leaders. The other people in the locker room respected them, and they were able to deliver the goods on the offensive line. That's why Caleb Williams won the Heisman. That's why Caleb Williams invited all of his USC offensive linemen with him to New York for the Heisman ceremony. And you don't have Voorhees, Nealon, and Haskins this year, and the offensive line has significantly regressed. Like, this offensive line didn't play well against Arizona State, didn't play well against Arizona, didn't play well against Notre Dame. Like, it's not only it's not really even accurate to say this group is inconsistent. It's accurate to say that over the past month, the group has been consistently mediocre. And that's why USC is where it is right now. So it's not just an Alex Grinch problem. It's a softness problem. It's a toughness problem. USC isn't tough. And that's why, you know, looking at this game, hey, Cam Rising might not play. So what? It might not matter. Utah's defensive line can just feast the way it did in the Pac-12 championship game. Caleb Williams commits a bunch of turnovers. Utah gets a drive start at the USC 10-yard line. I mean, even Bryson Barnes is not going to mess that up. Utah's going to score a touchdown. And so, like, Utah can win this game with its defense. And so no one at USC should be saying, oh, this is a win, guaranteed win. No, actually it isn't, because we just saw, you know, Notre Dame gained just 253 yards.
Yeah.
It's not as though Sam Hartman and the Irish were torching Alex Grinch's defense. USC's defense was actually okay, but Notre Dame got a kick return for a touchdown and two drive starts inside the USC 15-yard line. So, like, if the turnovers keep flowing from USC's offense because the offensive line just can't hold up in pass protection or run blocking, Utah's just going to win with its defense. It's going to be like a 20-10 game with Utah getting 179 total yards. Kyle Whittingham will be grinning ear to ear. Like, that's an entirely realistic scenario for this upcoming Saturday. So, like, no one at USC should be thinking, oh, without Rising, Utah has no chance. Hey, have you seen USC play football over the past month or so? It's been a brutal scene in Los Angeles.
Tell me how you really feel, Matt.
I know. I try to just...
I feel your pain, though, man. You know, I get it.
Go in between
it.
Here and yeah. Edge, yes.
No, it's,
well,
it's...
what's interesting is that I mean, Utah fans feel similarly in different ways, right? They feel a little nervous in different ways because, again, six games in. And it was weird, too, when we saw that. I mean, USC, they were an undefeated USC, and they were number 10 in the country. That didn't feel right. It was like everybody knew that something was about to hit the fan, that this team wasn't operating at the level that is that championship level that I think everybody was hoping that they were going to be. And so... But Utah's in the same boat in a sense that they don't feel, you know, they're glad to be 5-1, but they are definitely wondering what their identity really is. And so as this thing kind of goes forward on Saturday, it'll be interesting to see what personality this game takes on. Down at the Coliseum, and you heard Coach Whittingham as we came in talking about how, yeah, I don't look at it as a rivalry game. It's just it's a good one that we've had over the years. This one has been one of the closer games in the past 6 or 7 years for both of these teams, and it certainly is a fun one. But what is it this year about, you know, this USC team? What do they need to do to be that playoff team? Because that's what they're supposed to be this year. They were supposed to be that college football playoff contender. So what is it that it's not? And it, I mean, obviously the softness part is there too, but is it fixable on these things to be able to get to a championship level this season while Caleb Williams is still there?
Well, I mean, if USC is going to pull a rabbit out of the hat and win its next five games and somehow still stay alive in the college football playoff race, it all begins with toughness and it all begins with line play. But here's something that you guys and anyone else who is asking about USC this week needs to understand. Like, you know, I watch college football nationally, not just in the Pac-12. I follow Lincoln Riley pretty closely when he was at Oklahoma. But one thing I didn't know about Oklahoma until I asked an Oklahoma journalist last year for an extended podcast series we did at Trojans Wire called The Riley Files. You can look it up. We have all 12 episodes in one post on our website. You can Google it. One thing an Oklahoma expert said in the Riley files was that Oklahoma had a strength coach at the start of Lincoln Riley's tenure as head coach. You know, he was offensive coordinator under Bob Stoops in 2015 and 16. He then took over as head coach in 2017. Through 2017, he had a strength coach named Jerry Schmidt. But then Lincoln Riley brought in his own guy, Benny Wiley, who is now the USC strength coach. He brought in Benny Wiley to replace Jerry Schmidt in 2018. Schmidt went to Texas A&M for a few years. But then when Riley went to USC, he brought Benny Wiley with him. Guess who went back to Oklahoma with Brent Venables? Jerry Schmidt. Guess what Oklahoma's doing this year under Jerry Schmidt? Kicking butt, returning to physical football, beating Texas, looking extremely strong on the defensive side of the ball. Folks, that tells me, you know, I can put two and two together that Jerry Schmidt was the reason Lincoln Riley had that great foundation at Oklahoma. And having Benny Wiley at USC, that's why USC is a soft team. It's the strength coach.
Yeah.
To me, that is the overarching reality. It's more than an Alex Grinch problem. It's a Benny Wiley problem. And if USC had an elite strength coach, this thing would be different. So, like, if I'm thinking about the big picture for Lincoln Riley at USC in the offseason, now I'm not exactly addressing your question right now because we're talking about the next 5 weeks. But, you know, the direct answer to your question is that he has to address the toughness problem. But, in you know, after 2023, it come December, when USC is preparing for the Holiday Bowl, you know, which is an absolute disaster by USC standards, Lincoln Riley needs to fire not just Alex Grinch, but also Benny Wiley, and he needs to get a better strength coach in addition to a better defensive coordinator. And as for the offensive line, Josh Henson, who did a really good job last year, but with Voorhees, Nealon, and other players that he inherited from Clay Helton, Josh Henson needs to prove against Utah and also in November against Washington and Oregon that he can get some improvement from this offensive line. If this offensive line remains as bad as it has been over the past few weeks, Henson's job should not be secure. Now, as a prediction, I think he'll stay for next year. But in terms of what Lincoln Riley ought to do, he ought to demand at least some noticeable improvement over these next few weeks. And if not, he really needs to clean house with his assistants.
It's an interesting observation because it's one of the things that has been cornerstone in the Utah program and is that their strength and training is just outstanding. I mean, it's been, you know, they take players that are three stars and two stars and maybe even no stars and they really get the best out of them. And a lot of it is through that strength and development program. So it's a viable observation and probably a lot of truth to it. You know, watching Caleb Williams, I think he's just such a special talent, you know, and the only person that's ever going to stop Caleb Williams is himself, you know, and I mean, he really is just, you know, he is just special. Is it possible for him to win a Heisman Trophy this year? You know, I know he had a tough game against Notre Dame, but and I know how hard it is to repeat, but is that something that he could possibly do even with where he is in the season now?
Well, now, it's possible on a theoretical, you know, conceptual level that if by chance USC wins each of its next five games and gets to the Pac-12 championship game and then wins that game, yeah, but who in his or her right mind would expect USC to run the table at this point? Keep in mind, USC's playing Washington and Oregon in November. It's going to be hard enough for USC to beat Washington and Oregon back to back. But then in order to make the playoff and win the Pac-12 title, USC would need to sweep. You know, USC would need to beat either Washington or Oregon twice. Who thinks that's going to happen after seeing Washington and Oregon play what felt like a heavyweight battle? Like, that was big boy football at a high level. USC is not in the same zip code as Washington or Oregon right now. So the idea of beating the winner or beating Washington twice or beating Oregon twice it's just such a remote possibility that it's not really worth taking seriously. And Caleb Williams won the Heisman last year despite not making the playoff. If you're going to give the Heisman to someone in back-to-back years, making him just the second repeat Heisman winner, you know, after Archie Griffin of Ohio State, you know, that Heisman winner, if it's going to be a back-to-back winner, if we ever do see a back-to-back winner, that back-to-back winner in his second Heisman season has to be way better than the rest of the field in order to get the award. If it's a 50-50 shot, you give it to someone else, because no one deserves that unique place in history unless he has proven his point so decisively. So really, I think Caleb Williams' Heisman candidacy is done. It's roasted. It's in the oven. I think there's, you know, like a 1% chance, you know, if USC miraculously snaps into the team that many of us expected it would be before the season and wins its next five games, okay, candidacy back on. But who thinks that's going to happen? Mm.
Matt Zemek, Trojan Wire, is where you can find his byline. And, well, you can get very, very clear and concise thoughts on where he stands with this team and many other things as well. Oh, love having you on the program, Matt, and we're looking forward to this one. If you're at the Coliseum, go in there, go in the booth, and try to make Scott feel uncomfortable for just at least part of the broadcast this Saturday, would you?
I'll be in Phoenix watching from my chair.
See, it's because that's how you can say all this and then just don't go to the Coliseum and be like, were you the guy who called us soft in Salt Lake City this week? And be like, no, that wasn't me. Matt, thanks, man. We appreciate it. We'll chat with you again.
Always fun to be with you guys.
All right, there you go. Let's take a break. I mean, did you get enough of a feeling, Scott, that this team is not very good, that the Utes are actually playing up against this weekend?
Well, it's an interesting, you know, with the strength coach, because
that you don't think about the strength coach that often, right?
No, Ilyasa Tuiaka at Utah he's legit. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a good dude, and he's done a really good. And you know, they focus so much on functional strength, you know, where, you know, and so it's like, you know, it's not static, and they do. He does a lot of really good stuff. I think, you know, the whole key to Lincoln Riley is Lincoln Riley. You know, is he really that elite coach? You know, I don't know.
He's an elite
offensive mind. I mean,
we'll find out.
He's had what, three Heisman Trophy winners?
I think if you were to just
It's a Baker Mayfield. No, yeah. Is it three or four?
Baker Mayfield
was Jalen Hurts.
Kyler Murray
was Hurts at a Heisman? Did Hurts win the Heisman?
No, but he had like a very, very good year after he came over from, he was runner up after he came over from Alabama.
I'll tell you, guy, I like Jalen Hurts a lot. I really do. That guy's there's a
hey, Jets defense likes him too.
Yeah, I know he had a bad week, but he's a solid dude.
It's an interesting thing you brought up, because he had a bad game, and it's almost like you can't have that
Caleb?
In a Heisman Trophy season. No. Mm-mm. And a second Heisman Trophy season. No. You definitely can't. So yeah. I think he's 100% right.
Probably harder to win it twice than it is once.
It's 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.